Hello friends, this is Yuam. Thanks for joining me today for Hear Your Living podcast. For our gathering here, we arrive in this moment in togetherness to continue our practice of mindfulness, sustainability, minimalism, and wellness. And if this is your first time, feel free to join our community and dive deep in the topic of guilt and shame. And we're specifically going to talk about how to say no without guilt towards the end. And I like to begin with familiarizing ourselves with the mechanism of guilt, because guilt seems like a topic that is openly discussed often in the spiritual work and the emotional work, as well as in the letting go process, which means that it's an underlying challenge for many, difficult to surrender and to release, but perhaps needing much understanding and needing much dissecting before we jump into it abruptly. So it's so important to understand the ins and outs of guilt, how it shapes our current lives, what it fuels and it is actually fueled by. And to go even deeper, it's crucial to understand how we all are subject to guilt when we're growing up. And a lot of us inherit the karmic guilt from our ancestors and more closely from our parents and also from our caretakers within our family, as well as important figures like our teachers. So guilt is definitely a learned behavior and a social conditioning. Well, the emotion itself is natural, but the attachment to it is a learned behavior. And that's what we're going to focus on letting go, and that we're going to slowly learn how to release through the introduction of confidence and fearlessness, even when we are subject to criticism or facing unwanted tensions. So transcending the attachment to guilt is going to help us feel free from all the pressure and from all the unwanted influences that are dominantly controlling our current lives and is feeding more into our attachment to the guilt and identification with victimhood and helplessness. So my personal journey with guilt is a kind of a love-hate relationship, because guilt fueled my journey of confidence. It helped me discover self-empowerment and helped me tap into my inner voice. But before that journey started, guilt was so devastating. It was a burden for me for many years before starting my emotional decluttering, as well as minimalism and spirituality and mindfulness. So it was this inner darkness that casted a long shadow over the light of healing, and it delayed my emotional recovery for many, many years. And I don't know about anyone else, but to me, on a physical level, the emotion of guilt feels very heavy on my chest. It feels very tightening, and I feel like I have to hide myself and go into this little bundle of ball and just run away. Just feel so ashamed of myself, ashamed of my action, my words. I regret so much the things I have done, and I regret the things I haven't done that I should have done. So guilt feels like that to me, and maybe it's a good time for us to just take a moment to be present, to acknowledge how guilt feels like for us. If it feels heavy on the chest, if our breathing just stops when we are guilty, when we are feeling guilty. And if we feel any tension in the shoulders, in the jaws, or in the hips, what does guilt feel like for you? We can take a moment to tap into that. And once I realized how guilt felt for me, I accepted that a lot of the times I was feeling that way. And I tried to go back to the origin of when I started to feel these sensations When I started to be so obsessively attached to the mental formation that I was guilty of something, that I was sinful, that I was wrong, that I was inappropriate and imperfect. So while working with myself through my emotional decluttering journey and also inviting spiritual work, I started to understand that the majority of the guilt that I feel in adult life, the guilt of not being good enough, the guilt of not being beautiful enough, the guilt of not being nice enough, not successful enough, not generous enough to my family or supportive enough to my friends, I realized all of that shame of my not good enoughness or that feeling of unworthiness comes mainly from childhood, from my early upbringing. It originates from that time. And I revisited my childhood, my inner child, and I discovered that I was just scared of punishment. I was often punished verbally by my parents and from some of my teachers when I went to a Korean school, physically punished for not bringing the homework or acting in a mischievous way, not being a well-behaved child. So I realized that a lot of guilt is shaped by the fear of punishment, the fear of rejection and abandonment in any physical demonstration that I wasn't deserving of love and attention and safety and support and care. And the scoldings that I received were a method of correcting bad behavior to make sure that I understood that I was being bad and that I shouldn't repeat those behaviors again. So it is a mechanism of education, of learning, and now I kind of question if that is really the appropriate way to educate a child or any human being of how to distinguish between what is on a personal level right and wrong. So I question this tool that we use in modern society and in culture, the tool to eliminate any sinful acts, the tool to condition any children, any humans to only show good behavior, only show the perfect side of ourselves that are deemed to be most appropriate within our world, within our schools and family structure. And I later started to question even deeper this primitive method of correction, of learning and education. And now I think it's not necessarily evil or even bad to correct someone or to gently guide unwanted behavior towards wanted behavior, which is a form of discipline and a form of compassionate guidance. So for example, I think it is appropriate to teach someone that playing with a knife or a dangerous tool may not be so good for their well-being. So that could be an appropriate use of applying gentle correction. But the challenge or the problem, the distorted version of that appropriate education takes place when humans teach each other through the use of threat or through the use of punishment to forcibly remove mistakes or unwanted behavior and bad choices. So it's the punishment itself that is an ancient and outdated mechanism that I think may be the root of a lot of the guilt that we feel even after we grow up and we become adults. So maybe we can ask ourselves if when we were a child, we were punished. Were we reprimanded for being wicked, for being just a naive and childish and playful human being? Were we discouraged to show that behavior, to be more mature? Were we encouraged to be more appropriate, more fitting in to the rest of the world? So we can take time to observe that and see if the idea of sin was also introduced in that same time of our childhood. Because for me, that's what I discovered as the root of guilt that I'm feeling right now in the moment. So I had this deep underlying belief, this embedded mental formation that I was sinful, and all of that suggested that I was bad, that I was evil, and I was unloved, and I was unworthy. I really bought into this idea that I was a sinful person, a sinful little girl, because of this collective attachment to sin that is on a worldly scale, on a cultural and social scale. And I observed this in the way that my parents believed in punishment, and in the way that my teachers and other adults educated through violence or mistreatment when a child was not behaving in the way that they wanted to, they expect them to. And I noticed there's this whole obsession to destroy the bad parts of ourselves, to remove physical features that are unwanted, that are not attractive, and to remove certain emotions and traits and personalities as well as characteristics that deserve punishment, that deserve violence and are considered bad. So observing our history as a human being and observing our journey as well as my own journey, my own upbringing, revealed to me the presence of severe attachment to punishment, obsessive control, and forcible correction through oppression. And underneath all of this is this one root cause, this mental formation that gives birth to guilt and fear and rejection, all of that. And I uncovered in my personal journey that this is the obsessive need to separate the good versus the bad, make them oppositions to one another, which is a very black and white thought process and a mechanism of the ancient brain, the ego, for survival purposes. So going into my inner child work, my shadow work, and peeling away the layers, the onion layers, I finally discovered the root of guilt, the root of shame, the root of fear, and that is the ego, the primitive brain. And that's where the attachment comes into play, because guilt and shame, when it is a natural emotion, just passes by and it dissolves and we naturally let go of it. But it becomes a learned and conditioned behavior that we regurgitate over years, even after we graduate from our school. We're no longer children. We keep feeling guilty, keep fearing that punishment we received, because the ego is severely attached and it is so unwavering. And what I mean is that it does not entertain the possibility of forgiveness and flexibility. There's always a fixation on evil versus good. So the ego always says, you're either perfect or imperfect, and there's no in between. You're either good or you're bad, no in between. You're either beautiful or you're ugly, no in between. So that's the attitude that we inherit from our own primitive mechanism, as well as from the external influences, as I said, from society, from our culture and family. And that all gives rise and further agitates the inner doubt. So I start to feel guilty of not being good enough. I start to feel ashamed that my body is not perfect, that it's not pretty, that it's not beautiful and attractive. And I start to build this guilt about not being successful enough, not productive enough, perhaps, and not being a good enough sister, a good enough mother or father. So I start to build these mental formations because I see so much in black and white. There's no way that I can be both. I can never be both good and bad. I can never be both imperfect and perfect. I can never make mistakes but also be correct, according to the ego's narrow mind. And that can give rise to a lot of complexities within human relationships that usually result in toxic dependence. There's always this manipulator and the manipulated. There always is the controlled and the controlling, and the one that who exploits and the exploited. So there will be situations where people take on these specific roles and they are oppositions of each other, but actually mirroring each other's insecurity. And we can observe a lot of this within romantic relationship, as well as family settings, and even with strangers that become passive-aggressive to each other. And all of these relationships, they are bound by guilt, bound by good and bad, evil versus good. So there's always a perpetrator and a victim, and that gives rise to victim mentality and into helplessness, also into the justification of one's role. So what I mean is that because the ego is black and white, I always justified me being a victim. The other person always had to be the aggressor. And I always fixated on being the good, docile person, the innocent person, and the bad person were always someone else. So I fulfill these roles that society gave me, that I identify with, and I perpetually remain in the cycle of victim versus perpetrator. The moment of breakthrough from all of that bundle of toxic dependence, from my toxic relationship, my inability to speak up for myself, from me being a people pleaser and me always sacrificing, all those bundles of guilt started to dissolve when I found the key to my courage and to my confidence. And the key to my confidence was just honest acceptance that I was flawed, that I was mistaken, and that I was also a contributor to things not working out between relationships and in certain situations. So I started owning up to the imperfections that I had. And I let myself be without guilt and without shame because I honestly and humbly said to myself, yes, I am human. Yes, I am imperfect at times. Yes, I am prone to forgetfulness and even mindlessness. So I felt so free, so courageous in admitting that I was also mistaken. And when I admitted, honestly, to my friends, to my dear ones and everyone around me that I cared about, then I saw how the need to punish me lifted in their eyes. I didn't need to be learned anymore, to be educated anymore, or to be prevented from making more mistakes through conditioned behavior. I admitted, and everyone knew, that I was mature enough to be independent, mature enough to make my own decisions, and to be a whole adult without slipping away from responsibilities. So it may not sound so straightforward to anyone who's seeking the ultimate answer, the remedy, but I know how powerful honesty is. And once someone admits that they have mistaken, then forgiveness is readily available. But when we go back to old patterns and start denying that we aren't bad, that we didn't make a mistake, we aren't flawed, that we aren't imperfect, then there's always going to be someone who attacks us, who makes sure that we know that we are also bad, that we are also mistaken, and that we also contributed to a bad situation, a negative circumstance. So maybe an example will make it more clear for anyone who needs more clarification. One time when I had an argument with my sister, I was cleaning one of the storage bins and I threw out something that wasn't mine. And later she questioned if that behavior was appropriate and if it was necessary to actually ask the person who owns that item before making that selfish decision of throwing it away. And at first, I felt very defensive. I didn't want to admit that I made a mistake or that I was being an inconsiderate person. So I justified that careless act by saying that I was doing a favor for that person for cleaning after themselves because they didn't really necessarily need that object anymore. But then after speaking to her, I realized that that was just the fear of punishment stepping in. I just avoided my own responsibility, even though I myself knew that it was inappropriate behavior, that I did something bad. And I just couldn't admit to myself that I made a mistake because I thought, oh, she's gonna hate me now. And I'm going to be seen as this really bad person and she's gonna not love me anymore. But then I decided to admit that I made a mistake and I will no longer do that and I will correct my behavior as much as I can in the future. And then relief washed over both of us because we were just so humble. We were just so open to each other and we didn't want to no longer find the victim or the perpetrator or the good person and the bad person in this situation, but just accept that someone was hurt and that we can love each other as the solution instead of finding the evil and attacking it and cornering them. So I felt much relief just admitting that I was bad at that moment, that I made a mistake stemming from mindlessness, which everyone is prone to as a natural trait of a human being. So it's a little same with the mechanism of being able to say no. I started to change and let go of that people pleaser identity, and I became less of a yes robot, that's what I call it. By just applying the same concept of honesty and finding courage and confidence in one's honesty. When I was asked to do something or asked anything, I freely was able to say no because that was just my honest answer. It wasn't about justifying anything. It wasn't about making that person hate me, or it wasn't about the need to get even. It was just pure honesty. I didn't feel like doing what I was asked to, so I said no. It wasn't because I hated that person. It wasn't because I want to teach this person a lesson or anything like that. It was just pure, innocent no. And that energy of innocence is detectable by any human being. No matter how clueless they are about their emotions, about another person's emotions, intuitively they can sense that the other person's no is without passive aggression, that it is coming from a pure source that is within. So the energetic no is more important than the verbal no. Once I am honest, then I can fearlessly say no. I do not have to justify my actions. I simply have to state what I honestly feel. And if I want to, on top of that, I can help the other person understand through compassionate word and nonviolent statement my own needs and also offer my own willingness to hear the other person's need and desires. And if there's any way to fulfill that person's need in an alternative way, I will, as much as possible, help them if I want to. So it's a lot about nonviolent communication. It's a lot about releasing the guilt through honesty and through courage and confidence in my own decision, in my own need, and my personal desires. And because I put it in a simple way, sharing my story with you, the way that I approach it, doesn't mean that I'm admitting that this process is easy. Maybe that's a little a shocker for you. But I am saying this because it is important to know that it is a process. And forgiveness, as well as the cultivation of honesty, as well as confidence and courage in one's decision, in one's existence, actually, takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of persistence. And this is not a statement to discourage anyone who wishes to attempt it. I simply state this because it is to dissolve the need to perfectly do it, to perfectly say no, or to perfectly remove guilt and shame, and to perfectly let go of any unwanted behavior and emotions. That's just another trap that is a cycle. So what is important is gentleness and flexibility when recovering from guilt, from victimhood, as well as helplessness and the state of apathy. So know that errors are bound to be made, and mistakes are a naturally occurring thing for all human beings, for me, for you, for everyone else. So it's okay to take it step by step, work within a relationship patiently to heal both of those involved, anyone involved, and to step by step, gradually make available the courage, the honesty, through persistent discipline. And that is only available through daily practice, including some prayers, maybe some positive affirmations to build some courage, maybe journaling for more honest reflections, and that can help anyone build more of an honest way to communicate with another, and also self-education that could help as well. And some of the books that I recommend are Manuel Smith's book, When I Say No, I Feel Guilty. And I also recommend David R. Hawkins' book, Transcending Levels of Consciousness. And I have this actually, a beautiful quote by him. So I wish to share this before I close. And it says, "Guilt is the consequence of the memory of the regretted past actions as they are recalled. And these can be transcended only by recontextualization. And mistakes are the natural and personal consequences of learning and development, and therefore unavoidable." So I think his statement is exactly what I also practice: humbleness, acceptance that everybody is good, everybody is bad, everybody is imperfect and perfect, ugly and pretty. We are everything all at once because we are a diverse being, uncontained by the physical body, the physical limits. We are boundless. We are limitless. We are everything all at once. So I hope that this message reaches you. Let us accept the light of healing, be free from guilt, from shame, from the attachment to all of it. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you for your presence and willingness to listen deeply. You can find me on my channel, Heal Your Living, also on Instagram, and visit my site for books, coaching, and more resources. I send you my lotus prayer, and I hope to be able to reach you again soon.